Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In 2008, it was Hope and Change. What is it for this year? Nothing memorable, right? That's partly because President Obama is not running on much of a second-term agenda. The New Yorker's Washington correspondent Ryan Lizza noticed this and went digging for what U.S. President 44.2 might actually do. Hi, Ryan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Does the president have a platform of specific policy objectives for his second term?
Well, the thing about when you run for your second term is you've basically spent years laying out what you want to do. And what you do in your second term is basically the unfinished business of the first term. I spent a lot of time looking at Reagan's reelection because it has some parallels. And this is very true of Reagan, where he ran on a sort of fuzzy message of mourning in America. Things were getting better. You don't want to go back to the Carter-Mondale days. And one of his aides, this memo I found among Reagan's papers, one of his aides actually writes him after the election and notes this and says, hey, you didn't lay out any specifics in this election, but, you know, we have what is, you know, the Reagan agenda that we've been talking about for years, and let's pick out the items that were still unfinished. I think it's similar with Obama. There are a number of big, important things he's talked about for years and that he ran on in 2008 when he did have a pretty specific platform that he wasn't able to accomplish in the first term for, you know, all sorts of reasons. And he'll have to sort of pick from that buffet depending on the political circumstances he finds himself in, if indeed he wins. But with one big exception to all this, Brian, this election is unique in that we know one very, very big and important thing that either Romney or Obama will face if they win. And that is this fiscal cliff or tax-mageddon, people call it by different names, that the country is facing at the end of the year when the Bush tax cuts expire and some mandatory budget cuts go into effect and a number of other fiscal and spending issues come up for renewal. And so whoever wins early November is going immediately to have to deal with that. And that gives either Romney or Obama a pretty big opportunity to really reshape the size and scope of the federal government on spending, taxes, the military, and entitlements for decades to come. So what I lay out in the piece is that whatever Obama talks about in this campaign, that is the first piece of business if he wins.
Tax-mageddon, some people call it, or the fiscal cliff. Listeners, what would you like to see in a second Obama term as a policy agenda if the president is reelected? Ryan Lizza has been thinking about this and digging around in and around the White House to see what some people are actually planning, even if they're not talking about it much on the campaign trail. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And let's go back to Reagan for a minute before we return to the fiscal cliff and tax-mageddon and what Obama may still want to do on climate change or anything else. You write about Reagan's chief of staff, Don Regan, who went around asking advisors what he should focus on after the president was reelected, even though they weren't running explicitly on a second-term agenda. And I'm curious if you see Obama's advisors doing the same thing, kind of building the foundation of what Obama 2.0 would be.
Well, I have to say, and this may just be that folks were reluctant to talk about it, but I don't see the same level of planning going on. These guys are much more focused on this campaign rather than what comes after it. It's important to note that the memos, that memo you just mentioned, a lot of that exercise did occur late in 1984 and early 2005. So there's not a, you know, so there's not a whole lot, but so having said that, but there's some thinking going on. You know, I think Obama has at least privately in some conversations that he's had with people, he's started to think through his what he would want to focus on. I think two things that he's personally interested in, and this is kind of a sad irony because these are two things that would be very difficult for him to accomplish, but he's he believes that the two big things he could do that would make a difference decades from now, one, something about climate change, and two, something about nuclear proliferation. And I think on the first, on climate change, I frankly don't see the politics of climate change changing very much after this election, no matter who wins. It's likely that both the House and the Senate will be more narrowly divided. And say Obama wins and he cares about climate change and he wants to do something, it's the same forces that killed his climate change bill in 2009 and 10 will be even were just as strong likely in 2013. So I don't see a lot of progress on that. I couldn't get very many of his advisors, both in the campaign and at the White House, to I couldn't find anyone who said, "Oh yeah, you know, despite what the president personally believes, this is something we're going to push hard on." What I heard a lot more about, and what I would almost say was a conventional wisdom among his people, is that if they get past this complicated set of fiscal issues that are going to take some very tricky negotiations with Republicans, but you know, there's some cause for optimism that they could get a deal. If they get past that, they probably have a chance for one more big push on a domestic policy item before the 2014 midterm elections. And immigration seems to be the one on most people's minds. And the reason for that is that they argue that if Obama wins, part of the reason will be because of how poorly Mitt Romney did with Hispanics. And that one of the lessons for the Republican Party could be that the party needs to modify its position on immigration, move back to the center where they were in the early Bush years, and maybe you can get some bipartisan cooperation on immigration.
That's interesting. We have people calling in with different kinds of things they would like to see the president do. A lot of it is kind of pie in the sky because of the politics that you just described of likely a Republican House and closely divided Senate making it tough. But let's hear what people are having to say. And whether any of these things actually might be making people at the White House roll their eyes as they might hear some of these things or less than that. Gregory in Middlesex, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Love your program.
Thank you.
What I would say is there's about $300 billion worth of unpaid income taxes. This is a source of revenue, and I can't see why we don't go after this. This is what the GAO estimates since the year 2000. And I take my answer off the air.
Thank you very much. Are you familiar with this big bubble?
Absolutely. No, that's an excellent point. And I know that who is it? There's one senator whose name is escaping me right now, who's talks about this all the time. And if tax reform is the big issue at the end of this year and the beginning of next year, there's no doubt that finding revenue everywhere you can in the tax code is going to be important, and figuring out a way to crack down on people who aren't paying their taxes will be important. Now, in recent years, this has become, you know, it's become an ideological issue with Democrats wanting more enforcement, wanting to find that $300 million a year. Maybe it's billion. No, it's got to be million. And Republicans being opposed to giving the IRS any more, you know, sort of heavy-handed enforcement mechanisms. But no doubt, if tax reform is the big issue, there'll be a lot of people trying to figure out how to collect taxes that are, you know, are already on the books.
Karen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I would like to see the president resume the policies, the economic policies that he put in place during the first 2 years of his administration, including the stimulus bill, Wall Street reform.
Well, they already passed the stimulus bill. They already passed
Dodd-Frank. No, I understand that. But I think he's been actually trying to do more of that over the last few months and certainly over the last 2 years. And I think the Republican Congress has obstructed him. And I think that's why we have suffered a slowdown in the economic recovery. I think it's pretty clear that we need, and I think he said this last week, although I got it it got obscured by, you know, the private sector's fine stuff, that we really need more government spending. And I think that's where he started out, and that's why we didn't have a depression. We saved General Motors. Things got better. But for the last 2 years, he hasn't been able to do any of that or very little of it. And so what I'd like to see if he's reelected is a little bit more cooperation from the Republicans, and I'd like to see us get back on track before we end up like Spain and Italy.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah. And it's a really central point, I think, because if the president is reelected, if he's reaffirmed to that degree, even if there's a Republican House, maybe even a Republican Senate, does he then have a certain kind of clout to go back and say, okay, folks, this is what I think we really have to do to keep our economy out of the doldrums for the next 10 years, and that is to spend money now so that we're in less debt later.
Yeah, no, it's an excellent point. And two things on both of your comments. One, on financial reform, your caller is absolutely right. One of the things, if Obama's reelected, one of the priorities of the second term will be implementing the major legislation of the first term, and that's financial reform and health care if it survives the Supreme Court review. And as a lot of people probably know, the way that financial reform was written, a lot of the important decisions were kicked over to the federal bureaucracy and to the regulators to write the rules. And, you know, that's going to be very important. Whether Romney or Obama is president after this year, who's writing those rules and how strictly they interpret the law. And same thing on health care. You know, these exchanges have to get set up. The whole, you know, it's this massive piece of legislation that has to get implemented, and that will take up a big chunk of Obama's second term if he wins. And on the economy, your call is right. If the economy is still soft after the election, that will certainly influence what Obama's list of priorities are. You know, and again, I take you back to this fiscal cliff that we're facing at the end of the year. As if the economy is doing really poorly, as part of that, you know, deal and negotiations to get past those deadlines, there will surely be talk of extending unemployment insurance or extending the payroll tax cut, which they passed in 2010 and expires at the end of the year, and other pieces of stimulus. The other issue that I wrote about in the piece is housing. You know, there's still, I think, $700 billion of negative equity in the system, and if that's still a drag on the economy, then, you know, there may be some conversations about finally addressing the housing crisis, which is frankly an issue that the Obama administration has never really wrapped their hands around. And they've, for political reasons, never liked any of the options because, you know, essentially when getting that $700 billion of negative equity out of the system, you know, someone's got to eat the cost. And, you know, you're in the world of bailouts if the federal government's going to do it.
And our next segment actually is going to be about that new report from the Fed showing that the average American household worth has declined by 40%, and that's largely on the backs of the declining home prices, homeowners' hardest hit. We're talking for a few more minutes with Ryan Lizza, New Yorker, Washington correspondent, imagining what a second Obama term might include if he's reelected. He's not really running on a second term agenda. So what would it actually include? Ruben and Darien, hello.
Yes, how are you? I enjoy your show very much. I think basically what I'd like to say is that the big problem that we're having is cost control. Your speaker spoke about that, with some previous statements. I think basically controlling military spending, finishing up the agenda with controlling costs in the medical industry, with the exchanges, the states that are going to implement that, I think are going to definitely benefit from that. So say New York State with Cuomo behind it versus New Jersey with Christie against it, you're going to see a big difference. I think a lot of small businesses are going to benefit from that, and they'll see the difference once they don't have to pay so much out for insurance. So cost control is the big thing. I think if we can, rein in a lot of the spending, that his second term, if he can just spend a good majority of the time doing that, we'll be way ahead down the road.
Ruben, thank you. And Charles in Island Heights, you're on WNYC. What are you thinking about?
Hi, Brian. I think a lot of this is esoterica that the public doesn't identify with. And what he needs to do is put out something that's palpable, like public transportation. People can feel it, they can build it, they can earn money from it. They can ride in it after it's finished. It means something. Otherwise, it's fiscal, schmiscal, and all kinds of terms that people don't identify with. So I would recommend that, a real substantive program.
Charles, thank you. And I think that's a great point.
Yeah, it is.
And that goes back, I think, Ryan, to the very beginning of the Obama administration, when he was coming in with a message that I think got lost along the way, which was that they were going to revive the economy at the depths of the crash, when the financial crisis had really just hit before the 2008 election. And they were going to do it with all the stimulus spending that was going to be spent on reinvigorating the infrastructure of the United States. Well, the spending wound up going to state and local governments to save teachers and cops and firefighters, as we're hearing again these days. It went to a lot of tax cuts as another kind of stimulus, and the infrastructure piece got left behind.
That's right. Remember shovel-ready projects?
Huh.
And this has really frustrated Obama. I did some reporting on this in a piece I wrote earlier this year. You know, Obama kept on pushing his advisors when they were designing that stimulus for what he would call moonshot projects, things that, you know, would be, you know, almost like a version of his Hoover Dam, you know, iconic projects that the public would like your caller says, know about and see and ride on. And he was frustrated because his economic advisors would always come back and say, look, what's most important is we just get this money out the door as quickly as we can. And the easiest way to do that, or one of the easiest way, is either with tax cuts or with aid to the states who, if we didn't give the money to the states, are just going to counteract the effects of our stimulus because they're going to slash their own budgets. And so he's always been frustrated. But in this piece, one of the things I write about is that, like your caller says, infrastructure still really important to Obama and something that a number of his advisors brought up as a major piece of business if he wins re-election. And he actually has a plan right now. He wants to add, I think it's $150 billion a year over the next 6 years for major infrastructure projects. That's something that's been stuck in Congress and something that his advisors talk quite a lot about either this year, which is unlikely to pass, but going back to next year if he wins.
And we're going to be talking much more in the second half of the show with Dan Clydman from Newsweek, who has that major book about Obama as a war president. Do you see that changing in our last minute or so if he's reelected?
Yeah, well, it's a terrific book, and it influenced my thinking on the foreign policy part of this piece. And I think, you know, the project, the big project that they're engaged in, that they talk about in a second term, is what they call the rebalancing towards Asia. They believe that the U.S. has been too bogged down in the Middle East over the last decade, that they're trying to remove our troops, trying to have a smaller footprint there, and that the next decades are going to be about the Pacific and are going to be about managing the rise of China, and that they've spent a lot of diplomatic and military energy reasserting America's influence in the Pacific, and that that's something that they'll continue to work on if he wins re-election.
Ryan Lizza, staff writer for The New Yorker, their Washington correspondent, his story in this week's issue imagines a second Obama term. Somebody's got to do it since the campaign is not running on
it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, Fed to the middle class. Here are the stats that confirm your lives. We'll see what they mean for different generations.